There is the price of gasoline these days. Then there is the cost of medicine these days. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Drug prices continue to rise, but not evenly. That's our executive summary of a new report from Express Scripts, a pharmacy benefits manager. Here live with some of the findings is Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson. What kind of price changes are we seeing?
So overall, U.S. spending on prescription drugs was up about 5% last year. Obviously, that's a lot faster than the pace of inflation, but it's actually slower than 2014, so some good news there. But the price of brand name drugs, that's climbing even faster. The average price increased just over 16%, and it's almost doubled since 2011.
Well, what explains that?
Well, think back on the headlines from last year. So you've had lots of drug maker consolidation, lots of attention to companies that were buying up patents and hiking the prices. Express Scripts pointed also to treatments for diseases like diabetes and hepatitis C. The latter, you probably heard about, really expensive drugs.
Yeah, and hopefully people are getting healthier, but $1,000 pills, rounds of treatment that can reach $90,000 or so?
Right, really pricey drugs, really promising drugs. The report found that specialty medications accounted for almost 40% of drug spending in 2015. That's a big factor in the overall increase. So we talked about Hep C, but there are also high-cost therapies for complicated conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and cancer.
Anything getting cheaper?
Well, generics for a couple of the more expensive drugs, they're actually called biosimilars, they may be available in 2017 in the U.S.
All right, biosimilars, generics. Thank you, Tracy. Shifting from the industry level to the company level on this pricing of medicines theme, today Valeant Pharmaceuticals of Canada announced how much it made last winter. Profits were weaker than expected. The company says it's moving away from buying drug companies than raising the prices of the drugs it's been acquiring. That earnings report had been postponed for a few weeks because the CEO was ill. Plus, there had been news of some SEC investigations. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein from our health desk at WHYY.
One thing we've learned in the last few months is that a handful of drug makers are aggressive, some say reckless, in how they make money. Rather than develop their own drugs, Valeant bought up other drug makers who had near monopolies on certain medications, says University of Michigan's Eric Gordon.
It targeted companies that had drugs whose prices Valeant believed it could raise several times over. They referred to it as mispriced products, but what they meant was products whose prices they could jack up.
Last year, Valeant bought two heart medications, and the same day, the list prices went up 525% and 212%. It's seen as a niche strategy in the pharmaceutical industry, and Express Scripts' Dr. Glenn Stetton says its days may be numbered.
We've sent a message to anybody who's thinking about that this is going to be a good business practice in the future that they should think twice.
Stetton says his company, which manages prescription drugs for companies and insurers, makes it harder to get these medications. It's roadblocks like this that may explain why Valeant says it's ditching this business model. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.5% range. The FTSE in London is down 0.7%. We have more data from our national poll that we commissioned about economic anxiety in this election year. Today, how cheaper gas prices are playing out. If you missed that on the air, it's at marketplace.org, where you can also see how your levels of financial anxiety fit into our national data by taking a quick quiz online. There are innovations, new ways of addressing problems and opportunities. Then there are brands, the way we notice and remember things. At the South by Southwest Festival in Austin now, the brands are crowding in. My colleague Ben Johnson, host of Marketplace Tech, is there. Morning, Ben.
Good morning, David.
So you think that in recent years, this interactive portion of South by Southwest has become a place where brands of all kinds think they need to be?
Yeah, this has been happening for years, but it's really hit a fever pitch. There are a few different layers of interactive, now the largest part of the festival, the panels and presentations in the convention center and the hotels. But then there's this other layer, activations, experiences, and parties. The second layer is becoming almost more important, or at least more visible.
I suppose the companies do cost-benefit analyses before going, but you wonder, though.
Thousands of dollars are being spent. Some would say it's harder than ever to get noticed. A big theme this year is virtual reality, and I could just be covering that and maybe not make it to everything. A lot of the companies are putting on virtual reality experiences with open bars and barbecue spreads, as well as showcasing new software. A lot of these companies come back over and over and spend this money just to get noticed.
Give me one of these brands that seems to be rising above the noise there.
I ran into a guy I know, Drew Thurlow. He's an interesting person because he's director of artist partnerships and industry relations for Pandora. So he kind of spans both tech and music in his work. And he's been coming to South by off and on for 12 years. I asked him what he's seen at South by Southwest that has really gone mainstream in recent years.
The thing that struck me most is the actual conference itself. In 1987, it was launched. It was a long weekend here in Austin. And now South by Southwest has become ubiquitous across all culture. I don't have to explain to my retired aunt in Houston, who I'm going to see tomorrow, what South by Southwest is. That wasn't the case 6 years ago.
So the brand of South by has grown a lot in recent years, David. And in some ways, that's the brand that's doing the best right now.
Ben Johnson is host of our program, Marketplace Tech. Ben, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And finally, you go hiking sometimes, right? Well, what is the best thing you ever found along the path? I spotted a Nikon lens cap once. Then there's Lori Rimon hiking along in Israel's Eastern Galilee the other day. Is that, can it be, a gold coin just lying there in the grass? Rimon turned it over to the Israel Antiquities Authority. It turned out to be a 2,000-year-old Roman coin with the face of Emperor Augustus, rarer than rare, only one other ever found, from the year 107. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Zhang. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.